Thank you for taking the time to watch this message. My name is Ronnie Rothy. I'm the lead pastor at Relevant Community Church. At Relevant, our goal is to make faith practical in order to help you be more transformed into everything God's created you to be. It's our hope that something from this message inspires and empowers you to take a next step to follow Jesus. Thanks again for joining us, and I hope you enjoy this message. Well, today we're landing this plane on this 8-part series that we've called Follow Me, and we don't normally do a series this long, and so I realize that some of you may have missed some weeks, some of you are here the very first time, you're kind of coming in at the tail end of it. We have all these messages on our app, on our website, on YouTube. I'd encourage you to go back to watch if you miss any, because every week really builds off one another. But here, if this is your first time, here's the big idea we've been talking about throughout this series, is that Jesus doesn't call us to be believers or behaviors. He invites us to be his followers. The word that Jesus associated with why he came was not the word religion, but the word relationship. Holy Creator God didn't create humanity or me or you to be religious. He didn't create us to pursue a list of right religious things to believe or behaviors to do. He created us for a relationship with him. And our violation of sin against Holy Creator God broke the relationship that he created us for. Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus rose from the grave to restore and redeem and reconcile it in this life and in the next. And the one phrase that Jesus continually used to invite people into a saving and growing relationship with him was, follow me. And the amazing thing that we've talked about throughout the series is that being a sinner and having doubts and unbeliefs, it doesn't disqualify you from following Jesus. As a matter of fact, all those things are prerequisites. Every person that Jesus invited to follow him were sinners. Every person that Jesus invited to follow him had questions, had doubts, and had unbelief. Bottom line, Jesus' invitation to me and to you, regardless of what you currently believe or how you're currently behaving, is follow me. Follow me. And with every next step we take to follow Jesus, we grow in our relationship with him. And the more we grow in our relationship with him, the more he transforms us into everything God's created us to be. And the more transformed we are, the more we experience God's power and presence in our lives. I told you 8 weeks ago when we launched this series that my goal by the end of this series was that every single one of us accepts Jesus' invitation to follow me, is actively following him, and is growing in a relationship with him like never before or you never thought possible. And I realize that's an unrealistic goal, but I love you way too much for that not to be my goal. So I knew in order for that to happen, we all needed to first honestly assess where we currently are. So throughout this series, I've been challenging all of us to wrestle through two questions. The first question, have I accepted Jesus' invitation to follow me? Following Jesus starts with entering into a saving relationship with him by putting our faith in him, asking him to be the forgiver of our sins and declaring we want to follow him as the leader of our lives. And by the way, this is so stinking cool. Since we started this series 8 weeks ago, 49 people have put their faith in Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Absolutely amazing. So cool. And I realize that some of you have been considering putting your faith in Jesus over the past few weeks, but you haven't because you still have questions or reservations or doubts. Well, you need to know every follower of Christ, every person who's put their faith in Jesus and follows Jesus has them too. Following Jesus hasn't removed all my questions and hasn't removed all my reservations and hasn't removed all my doubts. They've just become smaller and less significant the longer I followed him, the more I've grown in my relationship with him, the more that God's transformed me into everything that he's created me to be. So if today you feel a prompting and a stirring that you're ready to put your faith in Jesus, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that before we go today. Now, for those of us who have put our faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life, the question that we're wrestling with throughout this series is, am I following Jesus? Not do I call myself a Christian, not do I call myself a believer. I have no idea what those words even mean. But am I currently engaged in the active process of following Jesus? Now, what I want to do to end the series today is I want to end the series by talking to those of us who would say yes. Yes, I've accepted Jesus' invitation to follow me by putting my faith in him, and I'm currently actively trying to and committed to following Jesus as the leader of my life. If that's you, I am so grateful to be following Jesus with you, but there's something that you need to be aware of. Because if you're not aware of this, you'll end up being surprised by it, and it can kind of derail you later. What you need to be aware of is that you will be tempted to unfollow Jesus. Regardless of how much you believe, how much Bible you know, or how good your intentions are, at some point on the journey, every single one of us will be tempted to hit the unfollow button. And listen, you've probably seen this happen to people that you never thought who would. You've seen people who believe the same things you do, who had bigger faith in you, who wholeheartedly followed Jesus, who attended every Sunday, who knew a lot about the Bible, who prayed fervently, who had Christ-like integrity, who experienced the power and presence of God in their life, who God used to impact other people, who you wanted to have faith like, who you respected, who was the last person you ever thought would unfollow Jesus, but then they did. And if you were to ask them, I bet they'd probably tell you that they still believe in Jesus. They still believe in him, but following him, well, that's in the past. And I know your reaction, because it'd be my reaction too. Our reaction is, well, I'll never do that. That won't happen to me. And the reality is none of those people thought it would happen to them either. They thought, I'll just hit the unfollow button just for a moment. Just for a moment in this relationship, in this circumstance, in this opportunity, at this time. And unfortunately, it put them on a path toward a destination that they and that you never thought they would end up at. So let me say it again. At some point on your journey, you will be tempted to unfollow Jesus. Not stop believing in Jesus, but stop following Jesus. Maybe not forever, but just for a moment, a season. An opportunity. You have to know that when we stop following Jesus, we stop growing in our relationship with him. And when we stop growing in our relationship with him, we stop being transformed into everything God's created us to be. And when that stops, we stop experiencing the power and presence of God in our lives. At some point, you will be tempted to unfollow Jesus. So I want to end this series with an extraordinarily important question. A question you need to ask when you're tempted to hit the unfollow button. A question that you need to ask before you unfollow Jesus, even for a moment. A question that the younger you are, or that the shorter amount of time that you've been following Jesus, the more important this question is. A question that actually comes from a conversation Jesus was having with his closest followers when they were tempted to unfollow him. In the New Testament book of John, chapter 6. Now, let me tell you what's happening here. Jesus had just performed this amazing miracle of feeding 5,000 people with a few loaves of bread and a couple fish, and everyone obviously was absolutely astonished. Now, you have to remember something we talked about earlier in the series. First century Jews had been waiting for hundreds of years for God to send the promised Messiah, the anointed one. And they believed that when the Messiah came, he would take his place on a physical throne as the Jewish king and save them. Not save them from their sins. That was the furthest thing from their minds. They thought that as king, the Messiah would save them from their oppression from the Romans. He would reestablish the Israelite kingdom on earth, and he would restore Israel as the dominating world power. Well, after Jesus performed this miracle by feeding all these 5,000 people, they thought, whoo, he must be the Messiah. And they were right in that Jesus was the promised Messiah. They were wrong in what they thought the Messiah would do. See, Jesus came to usher in and to rule over a different kingdom, the kingdom of God, a kingdom not of this world. Well, Jesus knew that they were going to try to take him by force, and crown him as their king, so he discreetly removed himself from the scene. And then he sent his 12 disciples. We now call them the apostles. He sent his 12 disciples on a boat across the Sea of Galilee. And he told them, hey guys, I'll meet you on the other side in Capernaum. And then Jesus miraculously walked on water across the lake, which is another amazing miracle and a different story for a different time. Well, word got out that Jesus was in Capernaum. So many of them, the people he had fed the day before miraculously, many of them showed up there the next day and tracked Jesus down while he was teaching in the synagogue. And as Jesus was teaching, they tried to get him to do another miracle. And they're going, hey, Jesus, show us a sign. Do that miraculously feeding us with bread thing again. And they're going, hey, watch this, like you won't believe what he's about ready to do. Well, Jesus knew the only reason they were there was because they were consumers. So he decided to use this as a teaching moment. Verse 33, for the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus is saying, I miraculously fed you literal bread, but now you're hungry again, aren't you? Father God sent me to give you bread that will fill and give you true life to your soul, to your spirit, and to your heart forever. I am that bread. I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. And immediately someone in the back's going, no, you're not. You didn't come down from heaven. Like, we know your mama. We know your daddy. And all of a sudden, there's tension in the crowd. And so Jesus continued, and it just got weirder and weirder and weirder to them. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood, at which point all the parents start ushering the kids out of the room. Yeah, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. And everyone is just wide-eyed in disbelief of what Jesus is saying right now. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Now, Jesus was using analogy to teach a deep spiritual truth. He's saying, hey, just like you need literal food and literal drink to physically live, you need spiritual food to receive spiritual life, to experience eternal life. Who I am and what I say is that spiritual food. Eat, which means believe in me, and drink, which means trust in who I am and what I say and what I'm going to do for you. Now, at this point, there's two problems here. The first problem is they did not know and they did not understand that Jesus would die on a cross and shed his blood to pay the death penalty that they and that we all deserve because of our violation of sin against Holy Creator God. And the second problem is that they were so literal-minded that they weren't following the analogy. They're thinking, this guy's talking about cannibalism, and this is so weird and so sacrilegious. Now, let me just stop here real quick. Some people completely miss what God is trying to teach us through the writers of Scripture simply because we don't know when to take literal as literal and analogy as analogy. I digress. And Jesus goes on and he goes on and he goes on, and it gets stranger and stranger and stranger to them. Verse 60, on hearing it, the strange sermon about being the bread of life, many of his disciples, now you have to know right here, this is not talking about Jesus' 12 disciples. When it says many of the disciples, John's talking about the crowd who followed Jesus around for the food, for the miracles, for the excitement. We talked about this a few weeks ago. They were the consumers. Many of his disciples, the crowd, the consumers said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Who can embrace it? Who can believe that? Who can follow this? And all of a sudden, the crowd started turning on Jesus. Aware that his disciples, once again, not the 12, but the crowd who followed him around, aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? Does this trip you up? Does this make you wonder? Does this make you want to wander? Is this too heavy for you? Is this too hard for you? Is this too much for you? And then John tells us, from this time, and you guys, this is a transition point in Jesus' ministry. From this time, many of his disciples, many of the people in the crowd, turned back and no longer followed. They unfollowed him. Hey, Jesus, we love the miracles. We love the healings. We love the excitement. We love all that you do for us. But this whole eating your flesh, drinking your blood thing, that's just a little too strange for us. Following you seems too hard, seems too inconvenient, seems too embarrassing, seems too costly. So Jesus, we're unfollowing. And as the crowd turned on Jesus and walked away from Jesus and unfollowed Jesus, Jesus' 12 disciples who had been listening to Jesus and watching the crowd, listening to Jesus and watching the crowd, began to think, maybe we should disappear into the crowd and hit the unfollow button too. Because as Jesus goes, we go. And things aren't looking like they're going too well for Jesus. And then Jesus, who knows the hearts of men, paused. And he turned to the 12 and he asked, you don't want to leave too, do you? You guys aren't thinking about going with the crowd, are you? You're not going to unfollow me as well, are you? You're not going to be an unfollower too, are you? Jesus just read their minds and it caught them off guard. And I imagine that moment was complete silence. Listen, just like the crowd, just like the 12 disciples, at some point you will be tempted to unfollow Jesus as well. Regardless of how long you've been following Jesus or how much you believe it won't happen to you, a day, a season, a moment, a time is going to come when you're going to consider unfollowing. And let me tell you when those times are. There's three of them. It will first be during seasons of transition. Middle school to high school to college, college to your first job, when you're moving cities, when you're switching jobs, when you get a new boyfriend, when you get a new girlfriend, when you're having a kid, when you're getting married, when you're getting divorced. During seasons of transition, we're tempted to unfollow Jesus, not because we don't believe anymore. Very rarely has anything ever to do with that. Sometimes, but very rarely. We're tempted to unfollow Jesus because following him right now seems inconvenient, seems too hard, seems like it doesn't matter right now. Second, in moments of temptation. In moments you want something financially, occupationally, sexually, relationally, physically, emotionally, you know isn't healthy, isn't beneficial, isn't glorifying to God, but you want it anyway, you'll be tempted to unfollow Jesus. And just so you know, the temptations I've seen make people hit the unfollow button most all have to do with him and with her. Ah, he's so cute. But I love her. I want her. I don't want to lose him. I'm telling you, the number one thing I've seen make people unfollow Jesus the most is the wrong him or the wrong her. In moments of temptation, we're tempted to unfollow Jesus, not because we've concluded the New Testament isn't reliable, has nothing to do with that. Not forever, but just for a moment, because following Jesus right now, it's getting in the way of what I want, and it may prevent me from getting what I want. And the third time is in times of trouble. After a miscarriage, when your marriage is falling apart, when you're going through financial hardship, when you find out that cancer is filling your body, when you experience the death of a loved one, when you lose your job with no options on the table, when you get injured and can't play anymore. In times of trouble, we're tempted to unfollow Jesus because we pray and we pray and we pray, but God doesn't seem like he's answering. And things aren't working out like we think they should. And we start questioning God and questioning his goodness and questioning his love. Seasons of transition, moments of temptation, times of trouble are what I call, and you've heard me say this before, pivotal circumstances. And these circumstances are the times when we're most likely to pivot toward God and most tempted to pivot away from him and unfollow Jesus. And it's in those moments Jesus asks us what he asked the 12. You're not thinking about leaving too, are you? One of the times I was most tempted to pivot away from Jesus and unfollow Jesus was when I was 21 years old. I'd been married about a year at that point in time, and I was leading, I was doing Campus Life, working for Campus Life, which is a high school ministry under Youth for Christ umbrella. I was doing Campus Life in Lincoln, and I mean, I was like really good at this job. And through my Campus Life Club, we're reaching hundreds and hundreds of students every week, and we're seeing hundreds of students put their faith in Jesus and their lives being transformed by Jesus, and the ministry is thriving. And yet my marriage was falling apart. And I was on the verge of divorce a year into marriage. And I knew the only way that I was going to save my marriage was to quit the thing that I knew and Christy knew that I loved the most in this world. And that was that ministry. And that was my job. And so I quit. But I had to pay the bills. And so I got a job as fast as I could, and I ended up getting a job working at Lamar's Donuts. And 3 months later, after I'd put on 60 pounds, I'm sitting there one morning eating a donut and realized how insignificant my life had become. And I remember just praying quietly, God, is this worth it? Is following you worth it? Because this is what my life has become. And I'm about ready to walk away. Another time was 12 years ago. Christy and I, after having Grace and Reese, tried to have more kids, and we ended up having our third miscarriage. And anyone who's gone through that just knows it's super crushing. And we're like, should we try again? Should we do this again? And we really felt like we were wanted to try again, so we did. And she got pregnant again, and we got through that like high risk area, that high risk time. And we're thinking, this is sweet. You know, we passed the 20 week mark. We're so excited about it. And then at 22 weeks. Our daughter was stillborn. And I remember, after holding my daughter and then setting her lifeless body down, I remember looking at her body and just crying out to God, saying, I have served you with everything. I've given everything. And now this, I prayed for one thing. And now this, like, I'm not sure it's worth it. Like, where are you? And those were pivotal circumstances. And you're going to experience pivotal circumstances. And in the midst of those circumstances, Jesus is inviting you, just like he was inviting me, to follow me. Follow me. And in the midst of those circumstances is, like me, when you'll be most tempted to unfollow Jesus. And some of you are in the midst of one of those circumstances right now. Which means what I say next should be really encouraging to you, and I hope it is encouraging you. All 12 of Jesus' disciples were physically face to face with Jesus. All 12 of them had heard everything that he had said over the last 3 years and had seen every miracle that he had performed over the last 3 years with their own eyes. But all 12 of them were still tempted to pivot away from Jesus and join the crowd and walk in the other direction and unfollow Jesus. And in that moment, Jesus asked, you don't want to leave too, do you? And in a dramatic moment, Peter, who usually said the dumbest things, asked a brilliant question that brought them back to their senses. A question I wish I could get to stick so deep in your heart and mind that the next time you're in the midst of a pivotal circumstance where you're considering unfollowing, that you would ask, because it will help clarify which way to pivot. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You don't want to leave too, do you? Well, yes, Jesus, we want to right now, but to whom shall we go? See, Peter recognized something most people never do until it's too late and they end up regretting later, and that is that if we choose to unfollow Jesus, we are choosing to follow someone or something else. Peter recognized walking away from and unfollowing Jesus is to walk toward and to follow something or someone else. So Peter asked, if not you, then who? If not following you, then what? Jesus, if not you, then who? If not following you, then following what? He's saying, Jesus, if we choose to say no to you, if we pivot away from you, I know that I am saying yes to, and I am pivoting towards something or someone else. Jesus, following you, it isn't uncomfortable. It isn't easy. It isn't convenient. It's a little weird sometimes. I don't know if you know what you just got done saying, but Jesus, after considering the options, I choose to continue to follow you. And listen to his thought process as he thought out loud about what brought him to this conclusion. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe, we've come to be convinced and know with certainty that you are the Holy One of God. Jesus, we still got a lot of questions. We don't understand everything you say. We're scared about what's going to happen to us, but we've seen too much not to believe that you're the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Holy One of God. We've heard and we've seen enough to know that what you say and who you are the bread of life that leads to eternal life. You and only you. So why would we choose to unfollow you now? If not you, then who? If not following you, then following what? To whom shall we go? Listen, at some point on the journey, you will experience pivotal circumstances. And in the midst of those circumstances, Jesus is inviting you to follow me. Follow me. And in the midst of those circumstances is when you will be most tempted to unfollow Jesus. When you're tempted to pivot away from Jesus, before you unfollow Jesus for even a moment, the question you need to ask is the same one Peter did. And that question is, to whom shall I go? Seasons of transition, moments of temptation, times of trouble, they always create questions. Questions like, is it really worth it? God, did you abandon me? Where's God? Is this really true? Can I trust him with this? What if I end up alone? Will I be okay? Will I make it? What if I lose them? What if I miss this opportunity? What if I'm left out? Why am I even praying anymore? Why should I care about being faithful to God right now? Pivotal circumstances. They always create questions like that. But considering the options brings clarity. The power of this question, to whom shall I go, is not that it answers all of your questions. It does not answer all of your questions. The power of this question is that it helps us consider our options. And since if we choose to unfollow Jesus, we're choosing to follow someone or something else instead, we need to consider the options of, if not Jesus, then who? If not following Jesus, then what? At some point, we will all be tempted to unfollow Jesus. If we choose to unfollow Jesus, we are choosing to follow someone or something else instead. To whom shall you go? Don't make a move. Don't pivot away from. Don't choose to unfollow until you've considered, if not Jesus, then who? If not following Jesus, then following what? Considering the options will help bring clarity and avoidable regret. We discovered earlier in this series that following Jesus, well, that happens one next step at a time. But the opposite is true as well, and don't miss this. Unfollowing Jesus happens one next step at a time as well. The people who once followed Jesus but don't follow him anymore, it did not happen all at once. It happened one step at a time. One decision at a time, one choice at a time, one drink at a time, one date at a time, one click at a time. Every decision leads somewhere. One next step at a time. Every choice leads to following Jesus or away from Jesus toward following someone or something else. Well, let me ask you. Is that someone worth following? Is that something what you really want to give your life to? Are it going to be the bread of life that gives true life, true joy, true peace, true hope, true fulfillment? Or are you going to get hungry again? Do they have the words and the answers that lead to eternal life? Is this substitute God worth surrendering your life to and following? Most people never consider the options. And so they end up chasing, because who and what they follow can never truly satisfy them. And listen, do you think that anything or anyone will be satisfying enough that you'll look back one day in the future and go, man, I'm so glad I quit following the Savior of the world for that? At some point, we will all be tempted to unfollow Jesus. If we choose to unfollow Jesus, we are choosing to follow someone or something else instead. So for every person who's put their faith in Jesus, let me ask you, if you were to unfollow Jesus, to whom shall you go? Some of you are in the midst of a pivotal circumstance and are tempted to hit the unfollow button right now. Well, to whom shall you go? If not Jesus, then who? If not following Jesus, then what? Others aren't tempted to unfollow Jesus today, but a day's coming where you will be. Well, to whom shall you go? If not Jesus, then who? If not following Jesus, then what? When I think back to the times I was tempted to unfollow Jesus, I am so grateful I didn't. I'm so grateful I chose to pivot toward him and follow Jesus in the midst of those pivotal circumstances, because that's how I came to know and taste and believe and experience that Jesus is truly the bread of life, of hope, of peace, of joy, and you'll be grateful too. We discovered earlier in this series, salvation is free. It costs us nothing. Following Jesus will eventually cost us something. And here's what else. Choosing to unfollow Jesus will ultimately cost you a lot more. To whom shall you go? If not Jesus, then who? If not following Jesus, then following what? We're going to end this series by singing a song called Follow together. But before we do, I want to ask one final time the two questions I've challenged you to wrestle with throughout this series. First, have you accepted Jesus' invitation to follow me? Following Jesus starts with entering into a saving relationship with him by putting our faith in him, asking him to be the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our lives. So have you? If not, what's stopping you from doing that today? If you feel a prompting, a stirring, the sense of ought to, I believe that's Jesus inviting you today to follow me, to follow me. And as we sing this song together, you can put your faith in Jesus by simply confessing your need for a Savior, because your violation of sin against Holy Creator God broke your relationship with him, declaring you believe Jesus is that Savior and that his death and resurrection are sufficient for the payment of your sins, and then asking him to be your Savior. Putting your faith in him, asking him to be the forgiver of your sins, and declaring you want to follow him as the leader of your life. And if today, as we're singing this song, you choose to confess, declare, and ask, you choose to put your faith in Jesus, we want to give you one of these relevant Bibles to commemorate this day. This is a big day. This is a special day in your life and in your eternity. And so on your way out, before you leave today, after we're done, stop by the Next Step area and tell one of the team members, I put my faith in Jesus today, and they're going to hand you one of these Bibles. If that totally freaks you out, or if you're watching online so you can't do that, just text the word Jesus to 55444, and we will mail you one of these. For those of us who have put our faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life, let me ask you one final time. Are you following Jesus? Currently, actively, as a follower of Christ, I guarantee Jesus is inviting you to take a next step to follow him. So will you? Are you? If not, then to whom shall you go? If not Jesus, then who? If not following Jesus, then what? During this song, let's declare to Jesus together, I will follow you. Let's stand and sing together. I pray those just aren't words that we sing, but that is the posture of our lives. That we make you our everything, that we follow you with all of that we are, that we surrender ourselves to you, that we lay down our lives and take up our cross and follow you one next step at a time, in full surrender, sacrifice for your kingdom and your glory. Lord, when we're tempted to unfollow, I pray we just consider those options. To whom shall I go? And we remember, Lord, that we're convinced and we know that you are truly the Holy One of God. Thank you for loving us, for inviting us into a saving and growing relationship with you. We don't deserve it, and we're so grateful for it. In Jesus' name, amen. If today you prayed to put your faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, today is a really special day. And we love to celebrate with you by giving you one of these relevant Bibles. All you have to do is text the word Jesus to 55444, and we'll get one of these Bibles to you in the mail, along with some information to help you take your best next step in following Jesus. Also, we believe that life happens best in community. If you live in Elkhorn or the Omaha area and you're not part of a church, we'd love to have you join us for one of our Sunday gatherings. You can find out more about Relevant and what to expect by visiting our website at relevantcommunity.org. Thanks again for spending part of your day with us, and we hope to connect with you soon.